Following a night of million-dollar advertisements and a performance by one of the biggest pop stars in the world, oh, and maybe a little bit of football, too, one of the biggest sporting events of the year has ended, leaving little cultural ripples for us to examine. Today on the show, we're taking a look at that. Hello, Laurier. This is the Chordcast. Features editor and host, and I just wanted to run a quick disclaimer that the opinions expressed in this program are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily reflect the intentions of the content discussed or the opinions of any other members of the Chord staff or volunteers. Now, on to the program. Hi everybody, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Chordcast, the Chord's weekly podcast. As always, we're here to discuss some of the content from the issue, as well as just, you know, what's relevant, what's going on, and I am joined by a panel of members of our editorial staff. Can you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Luke Sarazen. I am the photo editor.
The new photo editor, right?
The new photo editor,
that's
yes.
Right, moving up from
lead photographer.
Big moves, and you're doing a great job so far.
Thank you very much, Carlos.
And who else we got?
And I'm Pranav, I'm the sports editor here.
Awesome. And so we are back with another issue on Wednesday, as we are every Wednesday. Lots of great content coming up in this new issue. I know that in the opinion section, Aaron wrote an article about reviews, people, white supremacist groups going on Rotten Tomatoes and stacking reviews against the new Black Panther movie, which should be interesting to read. That'll be worth checking out. What else is in the issue, Pranav?
There's also a new story about the Friendship Bench, which is raising awareness about mental health, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also, in Arts and Life, I think Shai is writing about Justin Timberlake's new music that he's put out and also his halftime performance.
Nice, nice. Yeah. And that'll definitely be worth checking out. Luke?
In opinion, someone is writing about the Larry Nassar case, focused on the female judge and the victim testimonies.
Awesome, and all that'll definitely be worth checking out. All right, so obviously on Sunday of this week, there was the Super Bowl. Did either of you watch the Super Bowl? Pranav, you watched the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And were you excited by the results? How did it go?
Yeah, I was definitely excited. One of my closest friends actually is a diehard Eagles fan, and of course they ended up winning, so that was great for him, and
mm-hmm.
It was fun for me too, watching him just go crazy.
Yeah, great end of the game there, because
yeah.
It really, really turned around. Real exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, well, the Super Bowl is one of the most watched television events of the year, and a lot of that doesn't have to do with the actual game. Lots of people just tune in to check out the new commercials, the new movie trailers, even the halftime show. It's just, you know, obviously it's a big, crazy event every single year. So there were some advertisements that played this year. Some worked, some did not. And one of those is discussed in the issue this week. Luke, did you see any of the ads from the Super Bowl this year?
I did. I saw the Tide ad, which was very tongue-in-cheek.
Okay.
If you'd like me to describe it to you.
Sure, yeah.
The advertisement pretends to be many different ads,
mm-hmm.
A car ad, and then a never type of ad. But in each segment, it turns out it's actually a Tide ad,
mm-hmm.
because all of her clothes are clean. And he walks into a bunch of different stereotypical commercials and says, no, this is a Tide ad, you're advertising the wrong thing.
And that was with David Harbour, right, from Stranger Things?
It was.
Yeah. Was that a good Super Bowl ad or a bad Super Bowl ad?
It was interesting because it was I was going to say meta cinema, but it's an advertisement, but it was very reflexive of the advertising scene and of advertising conventions.
And so we'll call that a good one?
Yeah, it was decent.
I'll say it's a good one, Pranav.
Yeah,
good,
I'll say it's a good one too.
All right, so that's definitely one worth checking out on the YouTube. What else aired during the Super Bowl? What other ads?
Is it okay if I mention the one that's
absolutely
in the,
yeah.
Yeah, so the one that we're going to talk, that you will be able to read in the opinion section is, has to do with Dodge, and the commercial basically had Martin Luther King's speech playing over these people who are driving
mm-hmm.
the Dodge Ram car, And it was questionable to say the least, because do you really need Martin Luther King's speech in a car commercial? Like, I'm not really sure if that's totally appropriate for something
right.
that's not as...
Right. Now,
yeah.
let's just take a look here one moment.
The advertisement uses a speech which many have actually described as being anti-capitalist, and it reads as such. If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. And this morning, the thing that I like about it, by giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great, because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love, and you can be that servant.
So obviously, the speech that they put over the advertisement was, well, it was in a bit of poor taste there. Luke, you didn't see that advertisement, I'm
assuming. No, I didn't. I saw literally one on Reddit.
Well, just framing it that way, how does that sound to you?
Sounds like a poor marketing decision, especially in today's very reactive atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It's questionable to begin with, but it's just startling that they would... that no one would look at this and say, might someone, like, even if they're not saying, okay, this is offensive, they say, would they not say, might someone else be offended by this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially during Black History Month.
Yeah.
It seems in very poor taste. Obviously, if you were to see this removed from any of the cultural connotations there, it wouldn't seem so odd. It's not an overly controversial speech. But anyway, it was in poor taste. We're going to call that a bad Super Bowl ad. Can we agree?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
No,
yeah.
Nobody, you don't want to stick up for this ad, really?
I mean, I could stick up for them, I guess, in the sense that they thought, oh, well, it's fine. If we use JFK, it would be fine. We can use Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
But... I think they were misguided.
It just
seems, the case.
Yeah, it just seems. Yeah, I think taking any great cultural figure like that seems like a cheap thing to do to try and sell trucks.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, especially somebody like Martin Luther King. So other ads. There was a great Amazon advertisement. Did you guys see that one?
I can't recall. That one, no.
Where Alexa loses her voice, the Amazon Home unit.
Oh, thank God.
And they had great cameos by Gordon Ramsay coming in and replacing Alexa. and Cardi B. I think that was probably the best ad of the Super Bowl this year. And so if you're going to go look for the right advertisements to watch, I would say that would be a good one to look for.
I can't recall, but there was a bunch of movie trailers that came up during the Super Bowl. One of them was interesting, actually. I'm not sure if you saw this one, but it was the new Dwayne Johnson movie,
Skyscraper.
Yeah. Which was interesting because it reminded me, it made me feel like it's going to be a cheaper bop of Die Hard instead of Bruce Willis, though, it's Dwayne Johnson with a prosthetic leg because his family's kidnapped trapped in a building and he's trying to rescue them. So
right.
It's going to be interesting to see how it goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good Super Bowl ad? Bad Super Bowl ad?
In regards to that trailer?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a bad movie. just standard Hollywood drug
right.
fest.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be, right? Like, it's just a typical actioner. And the new Mission Impossible trailer, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
Lots of really exciting stuff always airs over the Super Bowl, but the Mission Impossible trailer, I think, really took it up a notch. I mean,
yeah,
that whole franchise is just killing it, but...
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was definitely entertaining.
So, obviously, make sure you look online at our coverage about especially that Dodge truck ad that played, or in the latest issue. And while you're at it, take a look at the other advertisements. We would recommend checking out at least the Amazon one and the the Tide Pod ad.
No, not Tide Pods.
No, the Tide ad.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
I was severely disappointed that it wasn't about Tide Pods.
That's
yeah.
fair, yeah. Okay, so we're going to keep moving along in the program. In our arts and life section this week, Shy is taking a look at some of the underground punk scene at the Snake Pit in town. And just sort of that combined with Justin Timberlake's performance at the Super Bowl. Did either of you see that? There was a, from what I've read, there was a real focus on older songs, mm-hmm. less of the newer stuff, mm-hmm. and even a tribute to Prince showed up in there.
Yeah,
and
his hologram actually showed up.
Was there a hologram?
Yeah, yeah.
What did
yeah.
that? Did it work well? Was it tasteful?
On social media, I felt like it was very divided in mm-hmm. terms of. I feel like it was exactly half the people who really enjoyed it and half the people felt mm-hmm. like it wasn't really necessary, but yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. And you didn't see that, Luke?
No, I didn't.
Fair enough. I didn't see it either, but I guess we'll take a look at that. But I just wanted to talk just briefly about how we romanticize older music, right? I mean, obviously, what Shy was seeing at the Snake Pit was a bit of an underground punk scene, and that's not mainstream music anymore, but she said that it was a thriving scene. There were tons of people there. Do you guys make efforts to listen to older music just for the sake of older music? What do you find the value in that?
Sorry, by older music, do you mean older genres or literally older music?
I mean, well, I guess I could mean both. I mean, the kind of stuff that's not popular anymore.
Okay. In terms of that, then yeah, absolutely. My main listening is punk metal, mm-hmm. metal, various varieties of metal,
mm-hmm.
as well as like vaporwave, Eurobeat. These scenes are very thriving because they're not really under any industrial control as much.
Okay.
Or there's more freedom to change,
okay.
I think, in them. So, yeah, definitely, I think... what was the second part of your question?
Oh, I was just wondering if the nostalgia has some kind of impact on your enjoyment of that.
Well, in terms of nostalgia, the genres themselves I don't find particularly nostalgic. It's
mm-hmm.
more for simply the style, the energy, the power, the feelings created by the music.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of nostalgia, speaking to nostalgia, my apologies for repeating myself.
No worries.
I think the thing about nostalgia is that when we hear things that are new, we enjoy them. As things go on, you know, good things
mm-hmm.
Become copied. So it may be just as good a song, but it doesn't feel as good because it's not new to us. It doesn't have that moment of, oh, that's new,
mm-hmm.
right? So when you hear, say, something by, say, Metallica versus modern metal, you say, well, Metallica did it first. But the nice thing about music scenes that are underground is that there is a lot of evolution and change in them, so you hear a lot of new stuff, and these may become... but that's a thing. It's new stuff. It's what's new. It's what you haven't heard before.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we remember, and that's why I think we have this sense of nostalgia. It's like, when you revisit this, it's like, okay, this wasn't just, you know, rehashed from old stuff. This was, you know, it's like, it has that fresh feeling.
Mm-hmm. Pranav, did you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I think Luke did a pretty good job of summing it up, but in terms of when you asked the question of do we listen to older music just because it's older, I do relate to that. Like, sometimes me and my friends will just be hanging out and we're like, maybe we should play some top 40 from the mid-2000s just to kind of remember
mm-hmm.
those times, like the songs that played at our middle school dances and whatnot.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get that nostalgic feeling back. So I definitely can relate to that, yeah.
Yeah, I get that. There's definitely,
yeah.
it's our associations with those
mm-hmm.
memories, right? And
mm-hmm.
so it collectively transports us when Justin Timberlake goes up on the Super Bowl stage and
yeah.
there's a tribute to Prince playing old Prince music. That
yeah.
takes you back to the 1980s,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That takes you back to personal memories. Okay, cool. So we're going to move right along, keep this short here today. We're going to move into the last section of our podcast, which is something good. It's always something good. What I need for you guys to do is just tell me about something good from your lives in the last week, something you've seen, something you've heard, something you've experienced, whatever the case, just something positive that you would like to keep with you. For me personally, and this is probably a big thing that hit a lot of people yesterday, a lot of movie nerds, I think, when last night during the Super Bowl, they premiered the trailer for a movie called The Cloverfield Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no fanfare before this. This was the first trailer, the first footage anyone had seen of it. And then a few hours later, they released it on Netflix. And just sort of the excitement in that short period of the reveal and actually being able to see this movie, It was a very cool way to release a movie, something that you would never have seen several years ago, and just the excitement you got to feel being a part of that and watching it in the instant that it came out from the ease of your living room. And the movie wasn't great. It was okay, but the something good was the experience of that release and being a part of that, and that was cool. That was very cool for me. That was something good. So, something good, Pranav.
Mine's kind of along the same lines as you, but a little different. So over the past week, I just finished watching the TV show The Wire.
Okay.
And while I was watching the show, I didn't really get why people thought it was so great. But mm-hmm. when I finished it last week, I was like, damn, that was a great show. The character development is probably the most realistic thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the conclusion of the show, it might be my favorite show ever. Like, it really was a great show overall.
Nice. So. And Luke.
Okay. I've been seeing this girl recently.
Oh, okay.
And she's fantastic. I never felt this comfortable with someone this close to someone. She's amazing. Last week we decided, okay, it's official. We're a couple. We're not seeing other people. So, yeah, I'm just really happy to be sharing experiences with this woman.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Awesome, and that's going to bring us to the end of our program here. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, shoot me an email at features@thecord.ca. Give us, check out our website, whatever you want to do. And thanks to you guys for coming on the program this week. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime. All right. And we're going to end the program here and have an awesome week. Talk to you later. Bye for now.